Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And we are still in season 4, which are survivor stories. So this is your trigger warning. A lot of these conversations might trigger you, might juggle a little feathers, but this is your trigger warning. So tonight I have the pleasure of sitting down with Yaya, the host of Unscripted BS Podcast. And the craziest thing is, when we were talking and conversing about being, talking about being on the podcast, I found out that I knew her for real, for real. So it's a small world. So it's another Jersey girl that's going to be on the show tonight. After her interlude, I will bring her to the stage and we're going to tackle a conversation. Let me unmute your mic. Okay, I got you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. I'm excited because, like I said, when you came in, it's a blast from the past. I'm like, I remember that face.
Yes.
So tell the people, who is Yaya? And tell them all about Unscripted BS, the podcast.
Sure. Where do I begin? So my favorite subject is childhood experiences. I love talking about childhood experiences because I feel like who we were as children is a direct result of who we are as adults. So as a child, I was a wanderer. I spent a lot of time looking out the window. I love playing, I love pretending, and I had this vivid imagination. So the first 4 years of my life, I spent outside the window. My maternal grandmother's apartment was in the front of the action. She lived in Booker T. Project, so if you know, you know. But her window faced, there was a basketball court, a playground, some benches and tables, everything. Like, it was happening outside. So of course, I'm a little baby, so the window is down, but I would look out the window. And so as I'm looking, I am becoming familiar with people and people's behaviors and their patterns. I'm able to identify who belongs to who and who is who, just how I recognized and remembered you and the sweatpants and the uniform. And you were like, I think I saw your face, but that's the thing. I recognize people that don't even know I'm alive because I spent a lot of my time and even in my present day, just observing and watching. At the age of 4, I was not knowing, but I was inputting language in my head, key thing, because I'm always living in my head, but I was able to input language in my head. I was able to identify that this lady meets this lady has this son. If the boy runs away, it's okay if those two ladies go and get that boy. Or I could be able to look and say, okay, this guy is walking away, he's patting his pants, he's gonna realize he left his bag, he's gonna go back and get it. So I was doing this at age 4. By age 5, of course, I was in kindergarten. And the good thing is that I went to the same school my grandmother taught in. And so I realized early on that I wanted to be an educator. Her classroom trash became my bedroom experience, my bedroom's treasure. So I always pretend to be a teacher, always in my imagination, always wondering. Thus, I became a teacher and an educator to this day. So I've always felt like I was a master manifester.
Right.
I always felt like everything that I imagined in my youth, I was able to do. Not all, but a lot of my pretend became my reality. However, on November 3rd, I got pregnant with baby Ever, my first baby boy. And on November 4th, he passed away. And it was in that moment that I could not imagine. I couldn't manifest. I couldn't pretend. And it was a while. It took a long time. But thanks to podcasts like mine and yours and support groups, I mean, I listen to a lot of your podcasts, and even more now that we know each other, I'm able to catch a lot of your lives. And through conversations and language, you begin to understand your feelings, able to process them. And you understand what I was experiencing, that loss of being able to imagine, that loss of foresight, understanding my future. That's all a part of grief. I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't in this space. And so I recognize now that grief isn't only about losing someone, but it's about losing something. You can grieve the loss of your future plans, your abilities, your strength, your dreams. And so, yeah, my life became unscripted. And I just scratched my head and said, this is some unscripted BS, because I would never imagine this. But again, with the group and support, I was able to get back on track. It's still risky. You know, I'm back at my childhood dreams. I'm able to get back there. And it's hard sometimes. But again, with the support groups, you have the language to, you know, push yourself through. And so BS at one point stood for some BS, mm-hmm. but now it's for Bianca's son, because I realized this new journey would not have started without the birth and loss of baby Ever. So that's pretty much me and the background behind Unscripted BS in a nutshell.
I love that the BS is for Bianca's son. Bianca, y'all, is y'all. Yeah. because the Blemish Beauty podcast is stemmed from me losing my daughter. So, you know, I wanted to do something to put a stamp in the world to make her proud. And, you know, me owning my scars and giving safe spaces for others to do theirs, they'll do the same thing. You know, I feel like every time I do an episode, I'm honoring her in some type of way, because I was never the person to even say stuff bothered me. So I'm just slowly coming out of my shell. But like you said, when things like that happen to you, it stops you dead in your tracks. And it's like, what do I do now? And I love your podcast, because you never really think about grief from those several perspectives. You always think about grief in regards to death of a loved one or a pet or something like that. But you never think about grief from the person you were or the person you thought you were dealing with. The grief of your new normal, you know, now you have to find out what life is like without having this child, right? So it's amazing that you put it in that perspective, and it's like an aha moment. Like, wow, we grieve a lot. Like, you know, going through some, and I love it because it's unscripted. Like, you could try to script your life if you want to, but we all just living life unscripted, trying to make the best of, you know, what's been going on. So you mentioned about being an educator. So how was, like, you know, your upbringing with, like, your family dynamic, your dad, you know, all of those people, because you did mention your grandmother. So what about, like, your dad or, you know, other family members?
So the funny thing is, I have two sets of people in my life, especially in my early beginnings, my immediates. So there were educators and there were entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. My maternal grandmother was an educator, but my maternal grandfather was an entrepreneur. He owned several stores and bars in Jersey City. My paternal grandmother was an entrepreneur. She had a store, a clothing boutique in St. Stephen's, South Carolina. And my paternal grandfather was a pastor. He used to pastor in a church, and then he built his own church on his property. So entrepreneur skills. And so I, and then my grandma, my parents, they're different. My dad is a fireman, which kind of goes into the legacy of always wanting to help and saving lives. And my mother is an accountant. She worked in New York on computers. And so that's something that I knew I didn't want to do that because I'm just not a corporate girl. But early in my life, like I said, I knew that I wanted to be an educator because I had those resources and those people, and I admired their lifestyle. It wasn't much. It was nice and simple. Mm-hmm. They were content and they were happy. But I also liked the entrepreneurial life. I liked the fact that my father could drop me off at my grandmother's store and she didn't have to ask her boss if her granddaughter can come and sit, or I was able to help and greet people and I had responsibilities. I liked the flexibility. And so in my adulthood, I wanted to be an educator. I wanted to help young children, but I did not necessarily want to work in a school. And so I was able to do both. Like, I work in a school and then I have an enrichment program outside of that to help preschool children with language, because a lot of our issues come from language, not mm-hmm. having the language to talk ourselves up, but having a lot of language to talk ourselves down. So right. really pushing that positive language in young children is one of my missions. Always involved in education. My parents definitely are very supportive. It's funny because when you grow up, you hear teachers don't make a lot of money, but we do. We make money. You just got to have a lot of degrees and you got to have a lot of skills. But it's money out there. But very close family dynamic. When I was a child, I was always in my head. I always pretend. And so my parents, thank God, gave me that space. I was the only child until I was 4.5 years old. So I spent a lot of time by myself, which was good because I was able to explore and mm-hmm. understand me. But it played a part when I got into preschool and was around a big world and really mm-hmm. didn't understand all of these people. You know, you go through that early, that only child syndrome. And then all of that admiration and adoration from your grandparents. But I grew out of that once my brother came around, and then cousins, and then more cousins. Support and love, which is definitely attributes that I pour into my experience as an educator. But even on my podcast, she's always sharing how they say love and light. It's funny because a lot of people say you give a lot of love because you haven't received it and you don't want people to be on that end. But it's a flip side to that. You give love because you know how it feels to get it. And you know that a lot of people don't receive it, and you want them to feel that love. So that's always been a part of my personality. Just always been a giver and a helper and a lover.
So you are what they say, when heal people, heal people. They always say and hurt people, but they don't never right. talk about when heal people, heal that. People. So you give what you have received, and that's awesome. I love too that you grew up with entrepreneurs around you, because our society, you know, we don't have that. Like other societies and other, you know, cultures, they have families, like you said, like the Spanish people, they have families where they have their own shops, and you mm-hmm. see the little girls with their moms yep. and their aunties at the shops, and they're learning how to have these skills. So when yep. they get a certain age, there it's already given to them. You know, our generation, our culture, we don't do that. We always working for somebody else.
Right, right.
But that's not how we were brought up. Like a lot of the creations and stuff that we use now is because of our culture and our people, but we have to get back to being those entrepreneurs and tapping into those resources that we were given from our ancestors. So I love that you had that component growing up and getting to see different things. You didn't have to become the statistic and just, you know, be what everybody else expects, because our Black men, you know, they have to be athletes or criminals.
Yeah, right.
They cannot be teachers or, you know, Fortune 500 company owners. They can't do any of that. So I love that you have that. And I love that your podcast definitely gives people tips and tricks on how to overcome grief and how to navigate their new normals, because that's what it's about. It's definitely about knowing better and showing up better. What was the pivotal moment for you to say, yeah, I think I'm going to start a podcast? Did you just press play, or how did that work, the production part in starting your podcast?
That's a good question. I think it started from foster care, actually. So in 2020, I became a foster parent, and I really didn't have a lot of people around me that were foster parents. And so I tapped into a lot of YouTube channels, and those YouTube people had Facebook groups, and then those Facebook groups had podcasts. And so I started a YouTube channel and a podcast just to get my message out there, because I was receiving a lot of information. And I said, okay, if I needed help and I went to these people, then I want people to be able to come to me and my podcast and YouTube channel for help. So it really all started with foster care. And then once that ended and my experience happened with baby, I needed that outlet still. So I was still using the same avenues, the same channels. And so really I just sent a message to the two followers I had. And I just said, there's going to be some changes, so you can stick around. But we will no longer talk about foster care. So I use the same platforms. I just revamped it. And then I just took it out. Honestly, I was recording things in real time because it was a feeling that I was experiencing probably for a long period of time. I received the help, or like a light bulb went off. I applied it and I saw the results, and I just picked up the phone and then said, I have to share this. Like, I have to. And so, again, just unscripted, there's a lot of stuttering. There's a lot of mispronunciation of words. But like I said, on some of the videos, like, this is real time. I'm telling you what I am experiencing, what I have experienced, nothing that I've read in the book, nothing that I heard on YouTube. Like, this is my feet walking and my hands and my brain and my mouth. Like, this is what is happening. And so that really helped me too, just to get it out, and then to connect, and even the groups that we're in, just to connect with those people and find people like you, you know, and be able to talk. It makes it all worth it. And I heard somebody say, and it's so true, but they said, the future is podcasts. And I really think with a lot of celebrities going into the podcast lane, like, I really think a lot of people are coming into wanting to have this dialogue, this conversation, as opposed to all the colors and being entertained. As you can see, the shift of people that we thought we could never touch, you know, we can contact them for an interview, and if the money is right, they'll come. So I really think this is a good space. And so I wanted to be a part of the numbers, but I also wanted to be efficient and effective. So it's not just picking up a mic and talking about whatever is popular. It's really having a niche and really sticking to it, and really making sure that it's meaningful and purposeful.
Yeah, I love that, because podcasting is like McDonald's franchises. It's so many of them. And if you focus on the amount, the numbers, you will not probably last, because you'll get overwhelmed. But if you focus on being authentic and being transparent and just being you, like you said, I have my two followers and I told them, look, this is what's up. Because who you're for, you're for. Yeah. And I am a strong believer that, you know, God puts us in places for specific reasons and for specific people. And I love the vulnerability, because that's what is missing. That's what the world is missing. It's missing vulnerability, it's missing transparency, and it's missing genuine connection. Like, I love you said, you're going to get these words, this mispronunciation, you're going to get all that. And people will gravitate to that because it's so much scripted BS. People are looking for the unscripted. And I love that everything that you're doing even from the title, is aligned to who you are and your brand and everything that you got going on. So I love that. I want you to tell the people where they can find you and how they can support you. But before you do that, I want you to give people some tips on how they can start the process of grieving, whether it's, you know, funeral wise or just grieving the old past or whatever it is. Give them a little snippet of what they can expect on Unscripted BS.
So on Unscripted BS, we're going to continue to talk about the importance of support groups and how to get involved. Like I said, you can go on Facebook. Facebook has so many groups. You can search what you're feeling and thousands of groups will pop in. You join those groups. You don't even have to participate. You can just read and like, but it's really, really helpful. Continue to listen to podcasts like this. Also, therapy. I know there's a stigma that was on therapy, but I think it's coming down because we're realizing that therapy helps. And so don't be embarrassed to join therapy. Find a therapist. Church groups. I cannot tell you how supportive my church group has been and still continue. They're still helpful in my life in so many ways. But understand that grief isn't an isolated situation. Find those support groups, and that is your first step. And I think that is really groundbreaking. Do not sit in your room alone. Do not feel like you're the only one that's going through this. Do not feel like the world is just closing in on you. It's really, really not. And those groups will be there to tell you that it's not. I would like for you to come over to Unscripted BS. We're working on some things. There's a lot of changes happening, but we're going to continue to talk about ways to cope with grief and how grief looks, because grief can look like somebody dancing in a club. Grief can look like someone laughing in a group of friends. Grief can look like anything. And so we want to explore those ways so that you can have a helpful grieving period and to also be a good friend during someone else's grief, because that's another subject. That friendship is really important. And like I said, sometimes grief isn't always physical. And so that goes into mindfulness, being mindful of words and actions and behaviors. But yes, find support groups. And I would love for you to come over and continue to listen to this beautiful podcast as I will. And I thank you so much again for having me. This was really, really fun.
It was. We got to do it again. And you know, you got to maybe have me on Unscripted one day.
Yeah, we got to get some things together. We're working over there. We're working on some things, but this is good. And I'm learning a lot from you. Like I said, I follow you and I see the changes you make. Even the emails that you send is very professional. And I'm saying, I want to be like you when I grow up.
Well, you know, anything that you need, you know, just hit me up and I definitely will help you. I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you.
So you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, I want you to remember that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next time, talk to you guys later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.